You're listening to John and Scott on AKC's Total Talk Nonsense.
Fuck yeah, I can do it. AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is 37.2.
37.2. 37.2.
Dot two on your action dial.
And you know, John, I think a lot of people don't even know we have a part two and a part three.
Really?
I think we have a lot of listeners that listen to part one. And then
they hate us, and then they don't listen to the rest of it.
No, because they keep coming back for part one, but they never get around to part two or part three.
Why is that, you
and
think?
And part one is where we're just warming up, John.
Yeah.
As will be proved by this podcast.
Part one, we're learning about our weekend and what we did over the week.
We're undressing.
Because we don't talk.
You get the lube out. I mean, we got other things going on.
Yeah, we got to warm it up. We got to get hard.
Right.
It's no good unless you're hard.
Hard and fast. Oh, and John, we have some other news.
What's that?
Because we, last practice we had with the band, because we are a band, John.
Right.
Rick wasn't feeling too well, so we wrote some things on a whiteboard, and then we went to the local pub.
The Watering Hole.
The Watering Hole, the Beacon Tap, and we had a couple of drinks
there. You know what? Is we should get a gig there with alcohol.
At the Beacon?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right.
Get a mosh pit going.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, let's do that.
All right.
Well, they penciled us in for April. So we have a gig in April at the Beacon.
Yeah.
So if Tony Hearn and those guys and Paulie B want to come out in April, we don't have a date yet. Were we told when the date would be assigned?
No.
Okay.
Well, the problem is we don't have anywhere to put those guys up. At least
right.
I don't, and I don't think you will either, because your house will also be under construction as well as mine.
Yes.
They could stay at the studio, but there is no shower. There's a bathroom and a sink.
No shower.
Little fridge. They could jam all they want, and the couch folds out into a bed, but there's no shower. I don't know if I have a cot. Do you have a cot?
No,
you
I
cot,
have an air mattress.
Cot sucker.
Yeah, we can put them up in the studio. Like you said, no shower. How important is it to shower, though? Not to
well,
me.
Well, they could shower here. I mean,
it's not important to shower to me. I'll tell you
I
that
don't
much.
Care. I mean, yeah. That's obvious, Scott. We know you don't shower at all. Oh, I was a swimmer, and the chlorine is still working. If you had that much chlorine in you, you'd be dead.
No.
Yes.
No.
Who told you that crap?
I made this. I theorized this myself.
Oh, it's going to be a part of your thesis?
It is, yes. It's a part of my being. The chlorine penetrated my body to such a length that when I sweat today, I still smell like a swimming pool.
The only thing that's penetrated you was a cock. Face it.
Face it.
Face the cock and smile.
Afterwards with the fecal matter?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, lick it.
No. No. No.
No, stop it.
All right, John, I got some quick celebrity news.
Celebrity news!
One of our favorite young up-and-coming actresses is Lindsay Lohan, John. And Lindsay says she's appalled by her interview published in Vanity Fair magazine last week. You know, the one where she admitted having suffered from bulimia and a little drug use. Remember that one, John?
Yeah.
In an interview with reporter Evangina. No, I'm serious. That's her name. Evangina. A vagina.
A vagina.
A vagina Peretz. Lindsay was quoted as saying, "I was making myself sick," and she admitted she had dabbled in drugs in the past. But now, in a statement released to Teen People, John, and
Teen People,
we know what a stellar magazine Teen People is.
Yeah.
Lindsay is denying that she discussed her alleged bulimia with a Vanity Fair at all.
Exaggerations.
It is an exaggeration. She says, quote, "The words that I gave to the writer for Vanity Fair were misused and misconstrued, and I'm appalled with the way it was done. Aside from the writer's lies and changing of words, I am blessed to have this job and a wonderful family that I do."
What's your
quote.
Fucking point?
And Lindsay's publicist says Lindsay doesn't suffer from bulimia now or has ever. However, Vanity Fair stands by their article saying, "A vagina, Peretz is one of our most reliable reporters. Every word Lindsay Lohan told her is on tape."
A vagina?
A vagina. That's her name, I swear.
A vagina.
I'm going to spell it for you. E-V-G-E-N-I-A. A vagina.
Wait a minute. E-V-G.
Yeah, E-N-I-A. A vagina. A vagina. But the Lohan news doesn't stop there, John. It just keeps going. She's linked
Wait,
with
say
the,
it again.
A vagina.
Spell it.
E-V-G-E-N-I-A.
Wait a minute. E-V-G-E. G-E.
Yeah. Evagina.
Evagenia.
Evagina. Peretz.
Evgenia.
You say Evgenia.
I say a vagina. It's not even close to a vagina.
Oh, it's not even close. You got to be kidding me.
Okay, dingy.
Phil McCracken isn't close to vagina.
The room was dingy.
Evagina is close to vagina.
Evagenia.
Evagina.
Wait, spell it again.
E-V-G-E-N-I-A.
A vagina. A right. Vagina.
A vagina. All right, the Lohan news doesn't stop there, John. She's seeing somebody. Do you know
Use
who?
Use your fucking brain.
Who?
A
dick?
The
a vagina is seeing a dick?
The pair celebrated New Year with a midnight kiss after meeting at the New Year's Eve party Lindsay hosted at a private nightclub in Miami. The following day, Lindsay went into the hospital after suffering an asthma attack, but reports are saying that she had her friend sneak, guess who, to see her, John?
Who? A vagina?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh.
Supposedly, someone told Britain's Daily Star. Oh, so they told Britain's Daily Star. So let me get into character, John.
That's fucking disgusting.
Leo visited every night. He would sneak into the back entrance wearing a cat with Gordon's face. He really helped to get through this ordeal. And he showered her with gifts and chocolates to keep her spirits up, John.
Female first says Leo
Are
is...
Are you auditioning for Family Classics of Christmas Carol?
Yeah. Is so smitten with the 19-year-old that he plans to fly to New York with her to meet her mother and manager, Dinah.
Hey, boy, what day is it? Why, it's Christmas Day, sir. Go get me the biggest, fattest goose for 5 bits.
Oh, and you mean one day a corner?
An insider said Leo and Lindsay want to get a boat and cruise around the Caribbean before she starts shooting her next film, Chapter 27.
Insider?
Yeah, an insider said.
What was his name?
An insider.
Dick? Oh, Dick Insider?
It was me. Insider.
Was it Dick? Come on, it's going to give me a headache.
John, this is a follow-up to a story we had. Remember Gary Glitter?
Yeah.
And he's fondling little girls allegedly in Vietnam.
I remember him when I was 10.
And the Vietnamese caught up to him. Well, Gary Glitter, fury over Gary Glitter child sex charge payoff. Get this, John. To get out of his troubles in Vietnam, where he could have been sentenced to death for fondling young Vietnamese women, the former rock star Gary Glitter has paid more than $2,000 to the families of two underage Vietnamese girls he is accused of sexually abusing.
Really?
His lawyer has confirmed. He gave $1,100 each to the families of an 11 and 12-year-old girls he allegedly had sex with. The families, who were paid 2 weeks ago in U.S. dollars, had originally asked for 5 G's and 3 G's. So he bargained them down, John.
Damn.
Last week, both families wrote letters to the court asking for the case against the 70s star to be dropped. The payments have been condemned as shameful by justice campaigners. Gary Glitter case is one of the most blatant examples of buying off the prosecution we have ever encountered. Corruption in criminal justice has been a major factor in South and Southeast Asia ever since Fair Trials Abroad was founded. So, Glitter is going to get away with it, John.
No.
Yep.
That freakazoid. What should we do about it?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Stop buying his albums, man.
They should stop playing his song and at the beginning of all the basketball games.
Right. Hit him where it hurts. In the pocket of his pants. All right, John, and one other follow-up on one of our favorite rock stars of all time. Axl Rose back in the news.
Oh.
He sues the Beverly Hills car dealer.
No.
It's not Guns N' Roses, but Cars and Cash that have rocker Axl Rose suing a Beverly Hills auto dealership. The suit filed Tuesday in a Los Angeles County Superior Court claims the dealership failed to deliver two luxury cars after receiving 20 G's in deposits and also failed to give the Guns N' Roses frontman, former frontman, or is he still the frontman, any money after selling his Ferrari. Doesn't that make you sick that Axl Rose has a Ferrari?
Oh, yeah.
Rose contends that Beverly Hills Classic Cars took his deposits but violated oral agreements, John, to get him a 2004 Lamborghini Gallardo and a 2005 Porsche GT3. After hours, calls to the dealer and its owner were not immediately returned. John, I did call him after hours.
John.
And then they give a little synopsis of who Axl Rose is for people who don't know, you know?
Yeah.
With Rose's frontman, Guns N' Roses reached superstar status in the late 80s after the release of Appetite for Destruction, which includes such hits as Paradise City, Sweet Child O' Mine, and Welcome to the Jungle.
Is that the Irish version? Sweet Child O' Mine.
That's the name of it, Sweet Child O' Mine. The band split in a bitter fallout, leaving only Rose and keyboard player Dizzy Reed to soldier on under the Guns N' Roses banner. Former members Slash and Duff filed a suit last August against Rose for allegedly naming himself sole administrator of the group's copyright.
Nice.
So there you have
it. And I will take responsibility and be accountable to you.
Well, why don't they give what happened with that suit? Is it still going on? Who knows?
Which one?
We're Slash and Duff are suing Axl.
Oh. Maybe they settled out of court.
Oh. You think they'd say that, though? The suit brought up last summer. It was settled out of court, John.
Yeah.
But no, they don't say that.
No.
So it must be still ongoing.
Yeah. Could be.
You think we'll ever be in court with Kangaroo Court?
For what?
I don't know. Like, let's say Rick leaves the band and we keep touring as Kangaroo Court.
He wouldn't sue us, man.
Who knows? I bet Slash said about Axl Rose, too.
I got him on tape saying, I hope Kangaroo Court would live on.
After he leaves?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Years ago. Speaking of celebrity news, Scott...
I was just speaking of celebrity
news. I know.
News.
Can
is
I
that
speak
a coincidence?
Of some?
Or is that ironic?
Huh?
Is that
That's
irony?
Good, yeah.
Right. I have the utmost respect for women.
I have celebrity news about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold.
From Los Angeles. Do you know he got in a motorcycle accident
recently? I heard
recently?
That. Yes.
Well, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger will not be cited in connection with his recent motorcycle accident, the Los Angeles Police Department and City Attorney's Office said Wednesday. The LAPD does not issue a motorist citation unless that person is observed by the officer committing a traffic violation, said police officer Jason Lee, a department spokesman, which I find is complete bullshit because I got a ticket when I was in an accident for improper lane usage and the fucking cop was nowhere in sight.
In California?
No, here in, well, right there. Here in Des Plaines.
Well, they got different rules here.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Right. Their rule is if somebody's crossing the highway, jaywalking, and you run them down, you're the one that gets in trouble because you hit the pedestrian.
All right.
Even if he's too fucking stupid. Frank Madeljan of the city attorney's office said prosecutors reviewed the police report on the matter, then sent it back to the LAPD saying it was their call whether or not to cite the governor. Schwarzenegger's aide said they plan to do their best to ensure their boss no longer rides motorcycles without the proper license. See, he was also riding without a license to ride a motorcycle.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. The fact Schwarzenegger has been riding Harley Davidsons over the roads of Pacific Palisades and Malibu Canyon for years without the required M1 license came out after an accident Sunday. So the old governator was breaking the law.
Well, and we both saw his motorcycle driving ability in Terminator 2. Obviously, he can handle himself on a motorcycle.
He's good.
So what do you need a license for? The license just proves that you can drive, right?
I think it's complete
bullshit.
Yeah. He proved it in Terminator 2 that he can handle himself on a chopper, John. Even naked. No, he'd put clothes on, right? Yeah. He was naked when he walked in. He had clothes on when he left.
Right.
And he got on his hog.
Well, the law requires an M1 license for drivers of two-wheeled vehicles. Immediately after Sunday's accident, Department of Motor Vehicles officials said the governator was unlikely to be cited since the sidecar made the motorcycle a three-wheel vehicle, Scott.
See, so he didn't need his M1.
Yeah, right.
There's always a loophole, John.
He doesn't have a license for a three-wheeler, though.
Why don't we ever get loopholes, John? It's always the other assholes that get loopholes.
And you were just saying in the part one that you just couldn't take the assholes anymore.
I can't take it, John. I can't take it anymore. We got that supreme asshole in charge.
Well, the governor won't ride anymore until he has the proper endorsement. His spokeswoman, Margita Thompson.
A vagina?
Yeah, a vagina told the Times. That's our goal.
I have the utmost respect for women.
I'm sure he does. The utmost,
utmost respect for women.
I stand for fiscally responsible government.
I swear I will not kill anyone.
Well, you know, Arnold's got a podcast.
Give this people air.
He does?
Yeah, I found it on iTunes.
You're a fucking choir boy compared to me. A choir boy.
And it's all of his speeches.
That's what he says about us.
Well, he's right.
That's what he says about our podcast.
You're a fucking choir boy compared to me. A choir boy.
You lack discipline. You lack discipline. You lack discipline.
We don't really. We're here every Sunday. We do three parts. We have discipline, John.
Yeah, I think we do.
So he's wrong about that.
Yeah.
F you.
I don't play
F
that
Arnold.
Game. Don't be ridiculous.
Stop it! Stop it!
You son of a bitch. Sue me, dickhead.
Bullshit.
Outrageous. I will repeal it.
All right, John, I have some science news.
Come on, baby. You know you're the girl of my dreams.
Because we like the science.
Yeah.
Oh, and that reminds me, I am a student at DePaul University, and I will be...
Oh, give it a fucking rest. Who cares, old man?
Thesis in physics, which will win the Nobel Prize. Yeah. I would talk about it here, but I don't want anybody to steal my idea, John. All right, then.
Whatever.
Getting into science news.
I hope you do.
Here,
I'm just saying, usually people that go bragging right before they get the Nobel Prize just don't get it.
Well, you think if the Nobel committee, whoever they are, let's say I was up for consideration.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, let's research. There's not a lot of background information on this guy. We do have an outstanding paper that he wrote.
Yeah, well.
Let's research, and then they run into total talk nonsense.
Right.
You think I'd still get it?
No, because you remember seeing the movie A Beautiful Mind?
Yes, I remember
movie. We can't give this guy the Nobel Prize. He's a fucking whack job. He's a smacktard.
Smacktard, yeah.
Because he saw ghosts, you know? They thought he was nuts. Right. And they didn't want to be embarrassed.
But what he might do.
Yeah.
Or
so
say.
they never gave him the pens, and then finally they gave him the pens. You saw that movie, didn't you?
Yeah.
I cried. Yeah. I cried when they gave him the pens.
That guy cried today at a movie. What was
you
I
did?
Watching?
Stop whining.
Yeah.
What did you cry about?
Was it Sky High? I can't remember.
Shut up.
When he says something about being a superhero, and he says, "Aura, you can be just a jerk." I'm sorry, I was a jerk, and then he lays a hard one on the.
He lays the hard one.
Oh, my daughter plays soccer, right? She plays indoor soccer.
Yeah.
And I've been going to all her games. I take her to her games. Marsha comes to the game for the first time, right?
Who's Marsha?
Some woman. So, Marsha runs into my wife.
Well, I'm glad she shows up, yeah. Once in a while.
Marsha runs
into my... She's your financial planner or something?
It could be. Yeah. I don't know. Marsha and my wife have some sort of relationship. So...
Oh.
But, I'm like, why is Marsha here? And then Marsha's there because she knew my wife was coming.
Oh.
So my wife went to the first soccer game to watch Emma, right?
Nice.
And it's co-ed, so she plays with boys. So in the first game, second half, she is in this play. She's involved with this play where she, this boy on the other team was dribbling it up court. And she
of
just
court. Now there's a court in soccer.
Well, it's
you're
like,
gonna get your ass kicked by Pauly B.
Well, it's indoor. I don't know what else to call it. It's on a basketball court. And she just stops this guy cold where he goes falling over. I mean, just takes it right away from him.
Yeah.
Comes down and kicks it right in the corner of the goal.
Nice.
I mean, it was just this exquisite play.
And you were like,
and I'm like,
yeah.
And I'm even more excited that she took this guy out and scored the goal.
You're proud.
I'm proud.
You're a proud dad.
I turn around. You know what my wife is doing? Mm-mm. She's crying.
Why?
Because her daughter scored a goal.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
so cute.
So there's a big difference there in our reactions.
Right, right.
But yeah, I cried at a movie today. Was it today?
You cried at a movie today, but not that your daughter scored a goal?
No, I was all into that. Yeah. Scored. Yeah.
Yeah, you Shannon know. Does this really cool slide kick when she steals the ball. She runs at the whoever it is because she's intimidated by the boys.
Mm-hmm.
So she developed a slide kick just because she's intimidated. She doesn't want to one-on-one them. So she just slides and then kicks it. You know, as she's sliding, and, you know, naturally it's up for grabs, so everybody's got a chance to get it. But she takes a guy out, usually.
Nice.
And it's pretty sweet, man, the slide kick. But she wants to play more with the girls. Actually, this year we're sending her to a pitching clinic for underhand fastball.
Oh, right.
Fast softball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she's going to be doing that. That's pretty a proud moment for me last year was her hitting the ball.
And getting a base hit?
Getting a base hit. She
nice.
Got the game ball for that day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, Emma was really tentative with the boys and whoever. But when I practiced with her, she would, like I would do a drill where I would just try to get by her. And if I did get by her, she'd be on me like white on rice, John.
Yeah.
And, but that I only got by her maybe one out of four times because she would get up in there. She'd throw elbows.
Nice.
Because it's her old man, right?
Yeah.
Then she gets out on the court, and she's backing off these guys. So at halftime, you know, I pulled her by the ear, and I said, hey, it's your fucking head in the game. Treat those fucking assholes like you treat me. Pretend they're all me. And she went out there the second half, and she was kicking ass and taking names, John.
I think it's because she likes some of the boys.
Oh, no doubt.
That's what happens.
Well, she had a play date with one of her friends from school.
Oh.
And they were talking. And there are two first graders that got in a fight over Emma. She's in second grade.
Wow.
So younger men are getting
sweet.
All in a lather.
Well, Shannon told me yesterday, that this one girl, after she leaves from the school. They're moving. Her and the other two girls she hangs with will be the most popular girls in school. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
I said, are you guys like Mean Girls now? That movie Mean Girls? Oh, no. We have three rules. Never call each other a name. Always be nice to other kids. And I forget what the third one was.
To their face.
Like do your hair or something nice or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Have clean hair.
Yeah. And today, you saw when you came in, she had her like hair up in this little comb or something. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
She had her hair all like curled up into a bun, and then she had like a big comb in it because she has real long hair. I said, well, why don't you wear that at school all the time? She says, because then I'd be copying the other girls.
Oh.
So well, she's setting her individuality right away.
That's nice.
Yeah. She's the rebel, just like the old man.
Right.
I like that shit.
What do you mean? The milkman was a rebel, too?
You know about that? God damn it.
It's going around the neighborhood, yeah.
Shit. She looks an awful lot like you, too.
Doesn't she?
Wonder, every time you come over, my wife lights up. Oh, Scott.
Oh, is Scott coming over tonight?
That's a big giant cock.
Remember that one time I couldn't make the podcast and she got all bent out of shape?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. She got bent.
I thought he was supposed to come to the podcast.
Hey, I got something from the past. You want to hear Heinz interview? Remember
Love
that?
To hear Heinz yeah, here interview. We go.
Heinz, our German buddy from Germany. Oops. We had to plug something in. Sorry about that. Let's try that again.
We're here in the studio with Heinz Ruwald from Germany. And this is John from AKC Total Talk Nonsense. And we thought we'd ask Heinz what he thinks of George W. Bush. What do you think of George W. Bush, Heinz?
He's the biggest idiot I can imagine. He has no brain, almost no brain. But I also don't understand the Americans to vote for him twice. It's unbelievable.
Do you think he's a monkey?
Not even a monkey. It's not intelligent enough.
not intelligent enough to be a monkey.
Yeah, it's not intelligent enough to be a monkey. I am wondering how he can survive in this country. Somebody must.
Oh, wait a minute. I forgot about that part. I got to take that part out again.
We just got to bonk it. Oh, there goes the hard drive.
Yeah. Joseph Mengele.
Just an idiot. I don't know what he's talking about. And I don't understand why he could be the president of the United States.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. But we had so many times discussions about this guy.
Well, thanks for the interview, Heinz. Yeah,
you're welcome.
And we'll see you again soon, probably in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And make sure you download the show.
Yes, I will do it.
All right, you heard it from Heinz. He thinks the guy's an idiot, too. And he's right there with us and the rest of the fans at AKC's Total Talk Nonsense. I'm John of John and Scott, AKC
and
Total
I'm Scott.
Talk Nonsense with that interview. Thanks.
You weren't in there. What are you saying?
Heinz has got some nice pipes.
Yeah.
Nice.
I just wanted to play that because he emailed me and he's badgering me about when we're going to Amsterdam next. And he thinks we're coming in February.
Mm.
So maybe we should plan a trip this spring. What do you think?
Can I think you swing so. It? Yeah.
You think so?
I guess.
Well, wait a minute.
What do I care? I can swing it.
I maybe, let's check and see if Rick can.
All right.
We can talk about it tomorrow.
Okay.
I think we should try and swing it and hook up with Heinz. Maybe we could get Pauly B and
Tony Hearn
out there because they're just right over short.
Right over by there.
Over by there. And we could get Heinz. I know some other guys. I know Uli. He might come out.
What about your French connection?
Gilles Tisserand might come out. Some other buddies. Let's see. Nanette might come.
Who's Nanette?
Nanette? Is it Nanette?
Not Nanette Tietze.
No.
Okay. She had a nice rack. Nanette Tietze.
She did.
They weren't Tietze at all, John.
No.
No.
No, the wife used to be pretty tight with her, too.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nanette. Let's see. Harry. Oliver. Uli. Heinz. Jill. And hopefully Pauly B, Tony Hearn, and his posse, those smacktards, and us septics. What
all
a fucking party that would be, huh?
No doubt. And we'd then, have to bring some recording
equipment.
Would
be the only
equipment.
Broad. it's real easy.
All right, then.
The thing I got, it's pocket handheld.
Oh, and the other thing we talked about is a video podcast. The next practice we have, we're going to set up video cameras, but we had a flood, so we got to take care of that. But as soon as we do practice again, we're going to hook up some video cameras and do our first video podcast.
Well, I'm a little psyched about this because we needed to clean up over there anyway.
We did. It was getting
so
messy.
Yeah. Maybe tomorrow I'll run out and pick up a nicer, what do you call it? A sofa
dildo?
Cover.
All right, right.
You know, something nice.
Yeah.
Red. How about red?
Red.
Get a red one.
As long as there's not cum stains on it like this one.
Like the one that's on there now?
Right.
You notice that?
Yeah. Well, we turned the black lights on, man.
I fired a little gravy on there a couple times. You know, you got to come down here to get away from the kids, you know, or they hear you.
Right.
So, you know, I had to do it down here.
All right.
Well, so anyway.
Back to science news, John.
Well, I thought we were doing celebrity.
Oh, we're still on celebrity? What do you got?
I don't have anything else.
All right. So on to science news, John. Oh, that's funny, John. A survey suggests we're losing our aversion to fatness. 2 decades ago, most Americans said overweight people were less attractive than others. Now, only 24% say so. Here's the theories, John. Number one, more of us are fat, so we don't want to judge others and feel bad about ourselves. Two, more of us are fat, so our perception of what counts as fat has shifted. Three, more of us are politically correct, so we've learned not to tell pollsters, John, how ugly we think fat people are. Four, our views about the aesthetics and plumpness have changed in past centuries and will change again. And what they're referring to is, was it back in the, in the early
1600s?
They liked them a little bit round.
Even earlier than that, sure.
Next science
story,
John.
The reason why they did is because that meant you were being fed back in those days.
Right.
You know, you're a poor bastard. You're really skinny. So if you were fat, you were being fed and you had some dough.
And some status.
Yeah.
Now you have to move to Park Ridge for that kind of crap.
Drink some fag wine.
All right.
And then
next story.
Pea-tasting scotch. No man wouldn't drink scotch.
Hey.
You ever hear of John Wayne drinking scotch? Well, why don't you slide me down some of that faggot scotch? You know,
So what does your hero John Wayne drink? If he doesn't
Bourbon? Bourbon whiskey, my man.
So what's the difference?
Maker's Mark.
What's the difference? Scotch and bourbon. What's the difference?
Scotch is made in Scotland.
Right.
Bourbon is made in Kentucky.
All right. Well, the Scotch have been doing it a lot longer than the Bourbons. I mean, the Kentuckians.
So?
So they're better at it.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
that's
whatever.
How that works.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Right.
Experience.
Uh-huh.
All right. Creationists are turning...
All bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon.
Whatever. Creationists
Hey, can I interrupt you again?
Go ahead. Creationists are turning from science to philosophy class, John. Last month, a judge struck intelligent design from science curriculum, calling it an interesting theological argument, but not science. A California school board responded by approving a course called Philosophy of Design.
What?
The course description says it will discuss the scientific, biological, and biblical aspects that suggest why Darwin's philosophy, John, is not correct. And evidence will be presented suggesting the Earth is thousands of years old.
What?
Critics have sued, saying, one, the course is designed to advance religious theories rather than open-minded debate, and two, it's taught by a fundamentalist.
A fundamentalist, Scott.
Fundamentalist. Minister's wife.
Oh, God.
The district says it's legal to explore cultural phenomena, including history, religion, next page, or creation
page
myths.
Two.
Wow.
Holy shit.
So there you have it. So they can't win with intelligent design, so they're going to go with intelligent philosophy, John. It's no longer a theory. It's a philosophy evolution. God. Stupid asses.
Well, you know what? Here, I got a little story here about that'll catapult the propaganda. Which is about it's about evolution. It's a little long-winded. Can you bear with me?
I think I can. Yeah.
And then we'll segue over to the next. Or do you want to wait till the next segment?
The heavy metal.
Yeah.
Is it a heavy metal story?
No, this is science, and it backs up what you just talked about.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I think it would be perfect to segue into that.
Next, you mean the next part three?
No, right now.
Oh, you said segue. Okay.
Segue right into
it. Here we go.
Right here, right now, John.
Scientists right here, Scott, figure out how honeybees fly. Robotic wings mimic insects' rapid beat. And could inspire new designs.
right out of the box. It's over. It's over.
I try to sound intelligent. Here we go. Proponents of intelligence. Come on. This is serious,
I know,
man.
It is. It's serious.
Trying to back up your...
How bees fly.
All right.
I would think it has something to do with their wings, John.
It
Am
does.
I correct?
Yeah, you're correct there,
All
sir.
All right.
Proponents of intelligent design, which
I wonder if a vagina is a proponent.
Proponents of intelligent design, which holds that a supreme being rather than evolution is responsible for life's complexities, have long criticized science for not being able to explain some natural phenomena, such as how bees fly, Scott.
But science, what you're saying now is science has explained it.
That's right.
They use their wings.
Scientists, Scott, have now put this perplexing mystery to rest. Using a combination of high-speed digital photography and a robot model of a bee wing. The researchers figured out the flight mechanisms of honeybees. For many years, people... Well, I got to do a voice, right? Can I do one of your voices?
Of course.
For many years, people tried to understand animal flight using the aerodynamics of airplanes and helicopters, said Douglas Altshuler, a researcher at California Institute of Technology.
John, can I stop you there?
Yes.
Scientists really still don't know how aerodynamics work, do they? How a plane flies? I mean, they have a theory, but they really don't know.
I'm going to get to that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
They touch on it here.
In the last 10 years, flight biologists have gained a remarkable amount of understanding by shifting to experiments with robots that are capable of flapping wings with the same freedom as the animals.
Am I keeping you up?
Sorry. No, I was...
Shut up!
There's a theory that yawning's contagious, so I just wanted to see if
I'm not tired at all.
If it held true.
No.
He would start yawning. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Wait, I'm yawning.
The scientists analyzed pictures from hours of filming bees and mimicked the movements using robots with sensors for measuring forces. Turns out bee flight mechanisms are more exotic than thought. Shit, don't do that on the mic. Come
what
on.
Do I do?
You're yawning again.
I'm sorry. Well, I took my earphones off because they're hurting my ears, so I can't hear myself yawning.
The honeybees have a rapid wing beat.
Lower. Told Live Science.
What? What was that? Could you say that again?
That was Altshuler told Live Science.
Okay.
In contrast to the fruit fly that has 1/80th the body size and flaps its wings 200 times each second, the much larger honeybee flaps its wings 230 times a second.
This was a surprise because as insects get smaller, their aerodynamic performance decreases. To compensate, they tend to flap their wings faster. Now, all of this, Scott, I'm not going to just keep reading blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
At the end, all of this, the scientists said the findings could lead to a model for designing aircraft that could hover in place and carry loads for many purposes such as disaster surveillance after earthquakes and tsunamis and probably hurricanes. They are also pleased that a simple thing like bee flight can no longer be used as an example of science failing to explain a common phenomenon. Proponents of intelligent design, or ID, as we've talked about several times on the show here on Total Talk Nonsense, have tried in recent years to promote the idea of a supreme being by discounting science because it can't explain everything in nature.
People in the ID community have said that we don't even know how bees fly, Altshuler said. We are finally able to put this one to rest. We do have the tools to understand bee flight, and we can use science to understand the world around us.
Fucking A right.
So there
man.
We go. Check that off of your ID list. Done.
So they're going to make airplanes that flap their wings 230 times?
Yeah.
That'll be cool. That'd I'm going to sign sweet. Up for that. No doubt.
All right, well, let's take a break.
No, John, no. Yeah. I got two quick other science news and we're done with science.
We're 42, man.
Can
we make it a cliffhanger?
All right. We'll pick up these two science stories in the heavy metal episode
part three. We'll be back. All right, hold on. I'm not plugged in. Can you do that again?
Why do you keep unplugging?
Because the battery's bad and I don't have the other cord hooked up.
Oh.
All right, so we'll try this again.
That's why we're not hearing a lot of soundboards.
No, yeah, right. I didn't want to interrupt me. We'll
right.
be back after this.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for...
Part three.
Just one last click away.
At Total Talk Nonsense with Sean and Scott.